Well, for a carpenter, Jesus knew a lot about farming and agriculture. The fact is that trade for a craftsman would not have been continuous or regular even. It would be necessary to cultivate your own plot and help bringing in the harvest, always a communal activity. In his travels, he would have noticed the birds feeding on the seed fallen on the path. He would have seen the seed fall on the rocky outcrop in the middle of the field and wondered how it would fare. He would have noticed the seed falling on the strip around the perimeter of the field, unplowed, full of weeds, and seen the competition was so fierce, the seed had little chance to grow and produce any crop. His listeners would have had exactly the same experience. And he makes this into the well-known story of the sower. It's a strange story to be telling the crowd, and he offers them no explanation. Actually, our reading doesn't make that clear, but he leaves the crowd and then returns to give the explanation to the disciples. He just leaves them with a mysterious, "He who has ears, let him hear." Jesus is probably in Capernaum, built on a natural amphitheater on the northwest corner of the Lake of Galilee. Some of us are hoping to visit the place during our pilgrimage in the Holy Land in the autumn. So Jesus is out for some me time on the lakeside. He's recognized and he's surrounded by the crowd. Taking advantage of the acoustics of this natural amphitheater, from a boat on the lake, he tells them a story about a farmer out sowing his field. Sowing is not as chancy an operation as our story might imply. It's a highly skilled job done by a specialist, a sower. Seed is too precious to be wasted. For us, there are the later verses of explanation to the disciples, but just imagine you are in the crowd and you hear the story. You will be justified in saying, "What's that all about?" So where do we position ourselves in relation to the word of God and the message of his kingdom? And where will the help, the strength come from to turn us into the fertile ground? The story reminds me of a saying attributed to John Chrysostom, which goes a bit like this. When you're reading the scriptures, don't get too hung up on the words, but rather look for the love between the lines. Jesus could be more direct, saying to the crowd and to us, "My words are completely wasted on you, to the path. You hear my words, but your hearts are so firmly shut, I might as well save my breath, to the rocky ground. You know what I am talking about, but your minds are so full of worldly clutter, you have no room for me, to the weed patch." Harsh words, but instead, he tells them a story. For the disciples, coming to full and abundant fruitfulness is much more urgent. So they get the explanation and what Jesus wants them to understand about the story. And essentially, I think, it's a story of hope. The hope that the arid patch can produce new growth. The rocky ground can be fruitful. The weed patch can produce a crop. Often our lives can resemble an unpromising patch of ground. Other times, circumstances make our life seem hard and arid. It takes a huge effort of discipline and self-denial to find ourselves producing a crop at all, let alone a substantial one. As usual, it feels as if Jesus asks for too much. His demands are too great. But we need to remind ourselves that by good fortune, we are privileged to live in the post-resurrection age. We are the beneficiaries of two supreme acts of love that God, through Jesus Christ, undertook on our behalf: the Passion and the Resurrection. The actions that justify the Old Testament, the actions that have set us free. As Paul writes to the Romans, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set me, you, all of us, free from the law of sin and death. It doesn't matter where we are, in a place where we have deliberately put ourselves or ended up through misfortune. The law of the Spirit has set us free. It seems to me that the arid patch, the rocky ground, the weed patch is where miracles happen, where God seeks us out and makes our life meaningful and perfect. He does this by the grace of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, evil may snatch the message of the kingdom from our hearts. I believe that by doing this, evil itself is diminished. The message of the kingdom is incorruptible. The power of the Spirit is much more potent than evil. We all experience evil. It might be ill health, addiction, conflict, selfishness, anything that gets in the way of our relationship with God. But we can give our enemy a name. We can confess our sins. The act of naming, with God's help and grace, will lead to his defeat and destruction. Paul tells us that the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. We might turn cowardly when trouble and persecution come, but it is also known that roots can break through stone and find the smallest amount of nourishment and moisture. We are fortunate in this country that we no longer suffer from persecution for our faith, but clearly faith is under pressure from secular society. And sometimes this is justified when our beliefs lead to violence against others, when we insist at interpreting Scripture literally, when we forget to look for the love between the lines. "We don't do religion" is the famous Alistair Campbell quote from the Blair era. My response is, you better start, and quickly. When your society is fractious and in danger of fragmenting, you better start doing religion. Religious communities are ready to provide the sense of cohesion, stability, and that politicians can only dream of. Goodness knows, for the past year, our national life has been in turmoil. Our economic future is uncertain. Our political leadership is weak and lacking in vision. Terrorism rose from among us and inflicted death and suffering on many people. An apparently avoidable man-made disaster killed close to 100 people and ruined the lives of many more. This is what living among the tangle of weeds feels like. Many of us have faced tragedy and loss, serious health issues, unemployment, relationship breakdowns, family conflict. This is what living among the tangled weeds feels like. The cares of the world might threaten to overwhelm us, but now we have the power of the Holy Spirit to sustain us. We will not succumb. One of the stories that came out of the Grenfell Tower disaster, a story I cherish, concerns the Reverend Alan Everett, the priest in charge of St. Clement Danes, Nottingdale, a church in the shadow of the tower block. It will not be described as a successful church. Its congregation is quite small. When Everett was asked how he heard about the fire and what his reaction was, he said, "I was awakened at 3 in the morning by a priest who lives in the block. I came down and opened the church and put on the lights. At the time of the interview, he had not slept for 48 hours. I leave you to decide how successful a church St. Clement's is. The local community responded with immense generosity, but it was the faith communities, Christian, Muslim, Jewish, who were in the vanguard of the relief effort immediately after the disaster. Living among the weeds means opening the doors and putting the lights on. Steve Morris, when he spoke to us about 3 weeks ago, urged us not to wait until we have become the perfect Christian before we plucked up courage to share the message of the kingdom. There is no greater miracle than a single seed producing 30, 60, 100 times more than was sown. What a happy state that would be to be in. The reality is that many of us, although confident in our faith, are also acutely aware of our own shortcomings. Jesus knows where our abilities lie. The love between the lines says, there is no amount of evil a single grain of God's love cannot destroy. No hardness of rock it cannot penetrate and break up to find the smallest hint of a response. No nettle field it cannot sigh through to give us light and air to flourish. God knows what we are, and he says, I have sent you my only Son, whom I love. Trust me, trust the power of the Spirit I have given you. My doors are always open, and the lights are always on.